Lonnie Jesus, welcome.
Thank you for having us, man. Appreciate you for bringing us on. I know it took a little second, but we're finally here. We made it rock.
Yeah. Happy to be here for real too.
Definitely worth the wait. And as I said before, we started recording that I like having people on the podcast that I enjoy their content. And like I said, you guys are top of the list. Anytime you guys drop a video or podcast, I'm watching, I'm listening. So definitely grateful to have you guys here. But we'll get into all the content and all that fun stuff very soon. But I have to ask, we'll start with the feet. What are you guys wearing on feet these days? Jesus, I'll start with you. What are you wearing these days? I know, and you could talk about it. I know you're having a sizing issue, right?
Yeah, so my situation is very simple. You know what I mean? Basically, I broke my heel last year. So in the process of healing, at some point, I don't know how this happened, but I pretty much grew a half a size. So if it wasn't half a size up, I probably can't wear it. I want to say 99% of my collection is clipped right now. So currently, honestly, mostly on a day-to-day, it's a Salomon XTX. If it's not that, then it's probably a Air Max 98. Or my rotation's like six. I only have like six shoes I can actually wear currently. So it's like that. Then it's like maybe SB4 Jordans. Got a pair of fours that I wore the other day. I don't know what the actual colorway is, but it's like the black and dark gray joints with the mint tint. I don't know when them came out, like 2013 or some shit like that. I don't know what those are called, but I can wear those and like white cement threes. That's probably like the only shoes I have right now that I can actually put on my foot. So that's what we rocking these days.
It's not a bad lineup.
Hey, I've seen people do worse. You know what I mean? I'm in the market for some new shoes right now. I don't know exactly what I'm going to buy, but
I was going to say, I bet you're trying to expand that rotation a little bit and maybe unload the small ones.
For sure. I mean, it's a process. So I just moved, so it's a little bit of a process to start. But once I get going and I get loose, I don't really buy a lot of sneakers on resale, so it's going to get a little bit weird because I'll have more money coming in than I'm going to be spending. I can't spend. I don't really spend resale on my shoes. I can't remember the last time I spent resale on a shoe. So it's probably going to be all stuff that's either retail or under retail because I'm old these days. And I'm just looking for comfort. My collection is probably going to change a lot drastically in just like buying over the next few months and years because I don't think that I'm looking for the same thing in a shoe that I was before.
Yeah, and replacing a collection, like I'm sure you have, we'll talk about later, is virtually impossible, right? So you gotta
we'll get there.
Maybe move
Air
on.
Max, Air Max is a lifestyle, though. You always gonna love Air Max, though.
Oh, of course. I mean, comfort. Well, comfort. Air Max is valid. I mean, I would rate A+ on comfort with Air Max. And that's one of the only other shoes that I could wear. Honestly, I wear tested an Air Max for Nike, and that's like the only fucking shoe that since my foot has been broken that I wore that was a size 10 that was like valid. I don't know how they made it work, but it was popping. It was actually one of the more comfortable shoes that I've worn. So I never turn my back on the Air Max. I'm not gonna lie. No.
All right, Lonnie, what you got in the rotation? Do you have a rotation, or you just kind of go with the flow?
No, I got a rotation. I wear the Salehe Crocs heavy. The black pair. Let me tell you. I this is my first pair of Crocs, and since I got them, I'm just like, okay, I get it now. I get it. I didn't want to pay resale before. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. This is foam, it's plastic. Like, it's just, I was just like, no. I went to Complex Con. They had them there. I said, okay, this is my time. And now, you know, I was converted.
You're a believer.
Yeah, I'm a Croc star now.
You're so a Salehe Heaver.
So I see you at NoHo or MyFitteds or just cruising out. You're wearing the Crocs or what?
Sometimes, not all the time. I'm not gonna lie. It depends on if I'm making moves, but like formally, I'm not wearing Crocs. You
right,
know,
right.
Like
So what are you wearing?
Yeah. It's more like for like early morning when I'm on my way to work, I change my shoes and whatnot. But when I'm at work, I'm wearing Ultra Boost 22s, Adidas, Ultra, yeah, more rocking those. Then what else I wear? Black Cement 3s, right? The 20, what is it, 2018?
I wish I had a pair of Black Cement 3s right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Listen, my pair is...
Can't wear my pair.
My pair is beat up so bad, people think it's an OG pair. Like,
well, that's one of those shoes that as soon as I got it, I was wearing the shit out of that shoe immediately.
Bro, right?
It wore down fast.
I had that shoe on ice for a sec for a while, and then you know what? When I went to St. Thomas, I brought that shoe with me. And one day, I literally wore that shit to go, because I was working while I was in St. Thomas with family. I wore them shits to work one day. I was trying to get them dirty.
That's the problem with shoes like that. Everyone wants it to be their daily beaters. And then if you only have one pair, it's kind of like, damn, why did I do that? Because the price now goes up.
And then I ended up doing that with my snakeskin Air Max 98s while I was down there. I got that pair, and those are like splattered with paint all over. But I have a backup pair. I got another pair still.
I'm going to ask about doubling up later. Save that one. Save that for later. What about hats? How do you guys approach it? Because, you know, I see you guys on the show. You guys like to pull out ones from the collection, kind of maybe important ones occasionally. And sometimes you guys will wear new ones, but I see you pulling out ones in the show that it's kind of like, remember this, you know, like, and I like that. And I find, and you guys talked about this on the show, when you're buying hats, you got so many new ones, and it's like, you kind of feel like you need to bring a new, what's your approach, Lonnie? How do you pick a hat every day, or how do you even deal with it?
I definitely have my favorites, you know. I play it safe with a good Yankee, you know, every other day, you know.
Lonnie's tricky because he got mad hats, but he's wearing the same hat, the same 12 hats for the whole year. You know what I mean? Like, this motherfucker, like, when does Lonnie break out? How often you wear a new hat, for real? Like,
it's very rare. Like, when I break out a new hat, it is very rare. I'm not gonna lie. Of my favorites. I don't know. It's just because these hats are very special to me. So it's just like, when I break them out, I want to make sure it's a proper moment, it's a proper fit. Because once I start wearing shit, John, once I start wearing shit, I'm fucking it up.
So in that sense, are you like the collector, like some things you'll keep and you don't want to wear? Because I have a bin, and I don't know if I'll ever get to them. And it's sort of the same with sneakers. Sneakers, I like to wear everything, but I got Dead Star shoes. Like,
Everything I buy, I like to wear, you know, like, even I try not to take anything I'm not going to wear just because it's just like, it's too much.
You will envision it one day at least, right? It doesn't always happen, but you think about it. You hope so.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
What about you, Jesus? How do you pick your hats?
Honestly, it's tough. I try as much as I can to wear new hats. Like, the thing is, I'm not like it's tough. Like, I try to wear new hats as much as I can, but then when it boils down to it and I'm about to go outside, you don't always want to take the time to curve a new hat. It's different than wearing a pair of shoes. Well, it's not different actually, because I can't wear factory lace shoes either. So it's like, if I'm going to wear a new pair of shoes, now I got to relace my shoes. That adds a whole nother process into getting ready that, like, as a guy, I don't know that I try to make things as simple as possible if I can. You know what I mean? So, like, when it comes down to, okay, now I got to curve a hat, new hat, sometimes I'm looking at the hats I've already worn and it's like, I could easily just hand curve this real quick and leave the house in 5 seconds. And I have to worry about filling up a steamer with water. And you know what I mean? It's a whole process. So it's tough, but I try to wear as many new hats as I can. It's hard though, because when you look at it, things are going to be forgotten. Like, when you have so many things, inevitably, whether it's hats, shoes, clothing, like, you forget that you have things sometimes. And you look back and it's like, holy shit. So I try to keep things in mind that when I see something, if I'm getting ready, like, I'll try to keep something in mind and be like, okay, I got to wear that suit. Like, one day, that's going to be the centerpiece of the outfit. Because that's how it has to be sometimes. I don't always like to start with my hat, but if I don't, I'm never going to wear some of these hats. So it's like, some days it really just has to be like, okay, what new hat am I going to wear today? And at least for the show, I try my best to wear as many newer hats for the show, just because it's like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, I got so many of them. It's like, they're not really doing much if they're they're just gonna sit here, honestly. So I try to get the best that I can. But hats are different than shoes to me, because once I wear my shoes, I like beat up shoes. I don't know that I like a beat up hat as much these days. You know what I mean? Once you wear a hat, it's like you really wear that hat. It's a little bit different. But I don't think now that I think about it, with this many hats, I don't know if you can have a beat up hat these days. Like, what does that even look like? I don't know. You gotta wear that bitch a lot.
Nah, but you know what it is? You're a lot more careless with the hat that's worn than the hat that's unworn. That's what it is. You know, for me, at least. Because yeah. you get in my car sometimes, there's just a hat on the back seat. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's like the Black Cement 3s. Once you wear them to, you know, a concert or a banging party or like the beat, then, you know?
I took a picture of like before and after. I went to a Playboi Carti concert and I wore my Viotech Dunks. And bro, let me tell you, the original Viotech Dunks, right? I wore those, bro. They got mashed.
But you say you took it before and after, so you knew what was gonna happen.
Yeah, right? Nah, I knew it was gonna happen. But yeah. I got a new pair, so I wasn't really upset. I paid $150 for those. It's crazy the price of shoes now.
Yeah.
What the Dunks, I saw somebody valued them for like $15,000 the other day. And I'm like, $15,000 for what the Dunks? And I think about maybe 2-3 years ago, I seen pairs for less than $2,000 or $1,000. Nah, like,
what the Dunks is fucking, that shit blows my mind, because I feel like when that shoe came out, I almost vividly remember, like, they were, them shits were like $300-$400. Like, that was like a lot. Like, you pay like $550 for some with the Dunks. It's like, oh my God, you paid so much. Like, and then to see people down the line paying thousands of dollars for them shits, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the rare old shoe market went plateaued like, you know, the mainstream market. Crazy. Like, Jordan, you know, new Jordan 1 releases you can get, you pay 20 over resale. It used to be like 100 over resale or 200 over, you know. But now I feel like that's flattened out with the economy and stuff like that. But I feel like these older shoes, they're still like, you know, like this, like you see the people buying them on Sotheby's and stuff. It's like that wasn't a thing 5-10 years ago. Right? At least not that I know.
Yeah,
different world. I mean,
well, you said it perfectly. It's the economy. You said it. Like everybody, we always say it on the podcast. We're like elbow deep in a recession now. So it's like, People don't have the money for shoes. Shoes are just too expensive for them. And that's why you see classics going on sale. You know what I mean? It's like my girl just bought some Air Max 97s, the gold joints, $98. Like
crazy gold.
When is that ever gonna happen?
Gold 97s.
No discount.
$98. That's
no
crazy.
Discount. Just like
those Chile AM1s that just came out. Those are nice. I got a pair. They were on sale the next day. Like people drop. When you see a shoe going on sale when it drops, you know something's up, and it's a good shoe. Not a brick or whatever you want to call it.
I noticed it when I saw OG the Taxi Jordan 1s, like that Monday still on shelves. Like I think I was in Harlem. Every store still had them in the window display. I'm like, you know, if a store has a shoe in the window display, they got a bunch of pairs.
Yeah. At least sneakers have resale. I mean, unless you're talking about a really rare hat, and I have a feeling that's changing even now. These old hat club hats that are from, you know, the earlier days, 2020 or whatnot. I mean, people are starting to sell those. Maybe they have too many pairs, but I don't know. Not too many hats have resale, especially if you wear it, right?
I mean, there's certain hats that definitely do have resale. I think at this point now, it's more about like who made the hat than anything else. I think the older hats, it's weird. The older hats that were going for a lot of money at one point, that kind of devolved. People just kind of, I think a lot of what goes into resale has to do with battles as well. People see what's going on in the battles and whatever is winning battles and the most powerful hats. Those hats definitely resell, and for high numbers. I've seen hats, and when you gotta think about it too. Sneakers, they're what, $200 at market value? You know what I mean? When you talk about a hat, it's $50. And if somebody resells a hat for $700, $500, I mean, off a $50 hat, the profit margin is just enormous. So I've seen people get hats off for pretty gigantic numbers compared to shoes. It's just like it changes what people want. And obviously the game changes when you see stores like that store in Brooklyn or other stores that remake hats, like that might change for certain customers. You know, I mean, they have a certain customer base that doesn't care about like getting it from the source, but there's always going to be collectors and people that really want like authentic items. And for those people, they're going to pay that premium price. I think that still exists in hats for sure. It's seldom now, not as much as it was before, because I think in 2021, we were like rampant with people paying high prices for pretty much anything that they deemed rare or, you know, a gem. And it was like bullshit they was paying for, really. Like people were getting people at some. I think that's probably what happened too. A lot of people paid $350, $400 for some shit that really wasn't nothing when they came out. But revisionist history, people can paint you a whole story about what's going on based on, you know what I mean, narrative. So
yeah. A lot of hats have come out since then, and most people have a couple hundred more hats than they did, and they might say, damn, do I really need to pay $300 for this one? I might not get around. But you're right, the good point about battling. I want to talk about sneakers, because whenever you guys talk about sneakers on the podcast, I'm like, give me more. So and I know you guys have talked about your sneaker history to some degree, but I want to get deep into it. So let's take it back. I always do this, and I love hearing the stories about like early memories. And I know it's become a thing on every podcast. Like, but I really want to know. I want to hear a couple of those stories from you guys. When did it matter? When do you remember it starting to matter for you? Jesus, you want to start?
I think it always kind of mattered since I can remember. I think going to the store, everybody has their own store. For me, it was James Shoe Service on 204th. So like that was like the neighborhood store. If you lived anywhere between, you know what I mean, Fordham and Gun Hill, that might be your local store. You know what I mean? So we would go to that store, and I remember vividly just getting to pick my shoe finally, because we didn't get a lot of shoes when we were younger. I don't know how everyone else operated, but me, I might have got like one or two shoes per school year. So like every time we went to go pick out that shoe, that shit meant a lot to me. And I tried to pick like the random shoe that nobody was really rocking, or the shit that gravitated to me. I was picking weird shoes when I was younger, I'm not gonna lie. It would be like a Flight 89 or a fucking Iverson Question or some bullshit like that nobody was really wearing. That's what I thought was cool. So like, to me, those are some of my earliest memories. On top of like, just like, I think everybody has those, like in our generation, it's like, you have photo albums and it'll just be like, I could see my baby picture with me wearing these older shoes. And for me, it's Fire Red 5s or fucking me playing basketball in playoff 12s. And like, just like those like disposable camera photos in the photo album, and just kind of like rekindling those feelings. I think that kind of always existed on our end, at least for me.
So it was part of it where you were and what you were into and what was around you.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, like my biggest influence was probably my uncle. So he had a bunch of shoes. You know what I mean? He would just get fly. And I would just, everybody has that one person in their life, I guess, they kind of see get fly. And that kind of just inspires them from there on out. But I think that just comes from where we're from. Like everybody cares about their shoes at a certain point. And like, you know what I mean? If you got some busted shoes, then you know what I mean? You're going to get chopped up and you know how it happens. So yeah, I think that's just like part of where we're from, really.
Yeah. What about you, Lonnie?
For me, it was shoes. Like my favorite stores, I don't know. Like I had an obsession with just knowing about like where all the sneaker stores were, and like where got the heat. So like from a young age, I used to literally just walk all over the Bronx looking for different sneaker stores, and then I would walk to Fordham, like. And I'd walk in every store just looking for different shoes. And I didn't even have no money to buy anything, right? But like back when, like especially the summertime, like every day, like I would literally listening to like different CDs, walk to Fordham, walk through the stores, see if they got my size and certain shit, like really window shop on some shit.
That's and a then, nice walk, I'm not gonna hold you, because I used to walk to Fordham and I thought that was a nice walk. And your walk is at least like 20 more blocks than my walk was. And so that's kind of fire. That's a whole album's worth of a walk right
there. Yeah, I used to, that's how I got into Dipset crazy. There was one summer I got like a Juelz mixtape and a Jim Jones mixtape, or just Dipset overall. And I was listening to those every day on my walk to Fordham. And yeah, I would go in every store, and because then back to school coming back out, and you want to make it easy for your parents to get the stuff that you want. So it's just like, I know where everything is.
You did your homework.
Yo, no lie. What was your favorite store on Fordham? Because there were some gems back in the day. Like Fordham had so many mom and pop stores in one space. Yes. I feel like every hood kind of has like that kind of space. It's like whether it's your Jamaica Ave or your Bergen Line in Jersey, or like everybody has that spot, Third Ave, whatever it is. You know what I mean? So Fordham just has like 10 stores at least minimum within like a 10-minute walking distance where it's mad mom and pop shops.
I love Fordham because there was real entrepreneurship. And you know what? You go inside those stores and then you have a nice young lady come and try to outfit you. You know, like, okay, you getting the shoes. What about the jeans? You know, then the t-shirt, the hat. Like, you don't see that anymore at all. It used to be a whole experience. You try to shit on you. Like, she's like, yeah, man, like that. You know, like, you don't see that anymore.
Maybe get yourself a deal. Work out a deal, right?
There used to be some crazy sales. I'm not going to lie. I remember that certain spots on Fordham had to fucking buy one, get one 50% off and shit.
Timberland's
coming up on Yeah, I mean, and it was a very specific, that's a very specific market of shoes they're looking for. They just want to buy Jordans and shit like that. So if you're trying to buy Air Max and just like random, like just miscellaneous shit, Tailwinds and Air Safaris and shit like that, like that, all that shit is going on sale over there because nobody in the hood's wearing that shit. So yeah, I don't know. It was a good vibe on that end. I was like, hijinks. I got fucking a pair of Clerk 90s in hijinks for like $60 on sale.
It's crazy. Yeah, hijinks was a crazy store. That hijinks is a mom and pop store. I worked there and I want to say like the last year that sneakers were like in between with like mom and pop stores and like just like straight like brand, you know, because at a certain point, like, well, later on, like there's still like there was boutiques, but like mom and pop stores, like they grasping for money. Like the phone posit craze was going on. Every other month they dropping phone posits, and that's the only thing kids wanted were phone posits for a certain time. Like like there was a good like two years where it was just like we were getting Hardens and stuff like that, but like those phone posits, kids were going fucking crazy. Phone posits and fucking what are those socks? The Hyper Elite socks or something like that? Like
yeah.
God. You remember like that was a whole thing. Like
yeah, and then you needed the tech suit for that for sure.
Yep.
So was working in retail, was that an opportunity for you to like really accumulate a lot working in sneaker stores, or were you already doing that?
Yes and no, because I'm not gonna lie, working in the mom and pop store is funny. My boss would be upset every time I was buying a pair of sneakers because he would have he knows I'm buying heat and he got to give me a discount.
taking it from someone else.
He'd be upset, he'd be like you always buying shoes, but
the good ones.
That was the game, but working in that store, it taught me organizational skills because there's no, it's just space. There's no like organization of where shit, like, I don't know. It's no electronics. You feel me? You just got to know where shit is.
Yep.
And like, I remember like working that job, the boss used to dead ass bring up certain shit and just be like, yo, tell me what this is. Tell me what that is. Because Stockroom's so fucking big. I'm a tall guy, big guy, husky guy. We would have wooden ladders I got to climb up on to grab certain shoes and shit.
I know them shits is fragile.
Oh my God, bro. That working in that shop was such an experience. Like, I would learn how to like outfit people, just talking to people. And it came to a point where it was just like, it was like just talking to people in general was just easy to me. And but it came to a point where it was just like I realized that there wasn't much growth with that because it's just like I could only work X amount of hours every week, you know, and it's just like there's no top boss other than the owner, you know, like so I ended up applying to Nike at the time because it was just like, nah, I'm gonna get better benefits, you know, get a discount, whatnot. And I ended up getting a job. So I was working at Nike and I was working at a mom and pop store at the same time for a little bit, which I don't think you're really supposed to do, but I was doing it because I was young, young kid, and I'm trying to get this
statute money. Of limitations is gone. Don't worry.
You feel me? I was trying to get this money young. So that was I was like 18. And working at Nike was cool because it showed me about the knowledge behind like the product. So like I'm working at the mom and pop store and it's like cool, you know. It's really just about like the outfit, you know. You're not breaking down anything technical to anybody, you know, in these mom and pop stores, because it isn't about, oh, I'm about to run a 5K in this, you know. It's just like, nah, I'm on my feet all day. I need something comfortable. Well, I'm going out, you know. I need something fly. So when I worked at Nike, they started teaching me about the just technology in the shoe, and then I like. It gave me like a different eyesight when it came to shoes, and just like everything has a certain function, you know. So like I could like talk that up a little bit, and then I ended up just working at Nike. I ended up quitting that mom and pop store because it was just like, nah, I'm good. But and I stayed with Nike. I worked with Nike for about like 8 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I got a bunch of good stories working with Nike. Actually, when the sneakers box launched, like the sneakers app, I was actually one of the people that helped do that sneakers box in the city. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was actually one of the managers from there. Nice. And that was a crazy experience, John. Crazy. Like these people were renting hotel rooms to put sneakers in. Wow. I remember running into Drake like in the Bowery Hotel, like we moving sneakers upstairs, and he's like, we both waiting for the elevator.
Yeah, that was sort of a really high kind of peak point too, right? In the sneaker market, like
yeah,
it was pretty crazy then, right? Yeah, if I remember the timing.
Yeah, no, it really was. What year was that? I think it was like 2014, 2015. But I know,
say 13, yeah.
I think the Hardens were like just dropping. I'm saying Harden. Wait, Harden was with Nike right before, right?
Talking about Paul George, right?
Nah, I don't think it was Paul George.
Kyrie?
Yeah, I don't remember the Hardens, but he was with someone before.
No, it's not Harden. Harden was with
Was it KD? Or maybe it's KD.
It was Kyrie. It got to be Kyrie or KD.
Maybe it was Nike. Like, are we talking like peak of Nike basketball when it was Kobe's and KD's? And...
Yeah, I'm trying to think which, because I think it was during All-Star 2.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember they had a lot of basketball shoes there. Had a lot of basketball shoes. Damn.
Yeah, and obviously you had access. So working for Nike always helps bulk up the collection. I want to ask you guys, though, it sounds like back in the day when you guys were younger, you didn't have to go. Did you have to go to the city to get sneakers, or was it there for you?
Yeah, it wasn't until like later in life, until like high school, that I learned about like Nike Town. But when I also, my dad used to take me to Chinatown a lot, and that's where we'd go to like different sneaker stores and things like that. Like like when it was time to go shopping, yeah, I'd see just different flavors down there. But
I was like leaving the Bronx generally until I was at least 13 or 14, and then we went downtown a little bit, and we found out, I think at that time we kind of found out about the downtown scene at the same time that sneakers were hitting like ISS and Nike Talk and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, oh wait, we got all of these places to buy shoes in this area. That's like what, 2007 or 8-ish. And so it's like, oh damn, like Premium Goods and fucking DQM. And I don't know, the list goes on. So I think that at that time we were just kind of discovering downtown as well. Like that wasn't always a thing where we just started going outside for real. And it was like, okay, well, there's this whole different world downtown. And so now we're hanging out downtown. We're finding out about the new stores. And I think that kind of contributed to it as well, because at a certain point, it wasn't needed. Like, you didn't really have to go downtown to get fly when we were young. We would get everything in our neighborhood, and we would still be as fly as everybody else.
Southern Boulevard, like,
yeah, like, it would be like, and we would get all of the same shit that would, whatever was trendy at the time, I guess. It just kind of was brought straight. That's a, that New York is kind of built that way, in a sense. They don't really want you to go nowhere. Like, it's like, you can stay in your neighborhood forever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everything is here. Like, you, on your block. Like, it's like the deli's downstairs, that laundromat. You know what I mean? 99 cents. Whatever you need is right here within a fucking 5-block radius. And you don't got to go nowhere. That's like, they would like to keep you around. You know what I mean? So for New Yorkers, it's like, just to get outside of your initial borough. It's like, people in Brooklyn wasn't going nowhere either. It's not just the Bronx thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, eventually you're like, oh shit, there's a world out there. That's when like Sold Out was happening and Dunk Exchange.
Yeah.
And like all of the conventions were kind of getting popping. And then that brought us downtown as well. And that kind of taught us about community. You know what I mean? Like, and there was no real sense of community until like you got to actually meet people and be like, oh shit, like y'all like sneakers too. I know y'all kind of the same age.
Yeah. So did you guys, were you guys camping out and stuff by that late, you know, by the time you were teenagers or in your early 20s, were you guys doing stuff like that?
I think Lonnie has more campout stories than I could ever have. The only shoe I ever camped out for in my life was the Cool Grey 3s the first time they came out. And I camped out at Getty Square in Yonkers because I knew there wasn't going to be a lot of people there. So it was like the easiest thing ever. Like literally, we were top 10 easily. There was nobody outside. Nobody was there. We just smoked weed all night and chilled. Like, it was super calm. Nothing. Lonnie has been to all the crazy releases is on either side, so you can tell campout stories. I have zero campout stories when it comes to anything.
Those are the best campouts. I love those campouts. But
I don't do campouts like
you. You got one or two for me, Lonnie?
Yeah, I've told this story a bunch of times because this is like my first time camping out. But I think I was in like 10th grade. It's crazy. I was in like 10th grade, and what was dropping is. So I saved up enough money to get the countdown pack because it was the 11s and 12s dropping. I was like, okay, definitely going to get those, right? I think I had like maybe like $500 or something like that. Then I was playing basketball, broke my glasses, right? Spent $200 out the budget. The new glasses. Yeah. So I'm like, fuck. Right? My sneaker money's gone.
What you gonna do?
My sneaker money's gone. I'm like, fuck, I'm short. I can't ask my mom for money for sneakers. I'm already spending $300, you know? Like, she's not giving me money for this.
My mom care about the countdown part. Does not
support this habit at all. So I'm like, all right, fuck, I gotta get something else. And the Jordan 23s just dropped, right? And they're like Jordan 23s, the finales, 23
stores.
That
was the 23 stores.
Yeah.
Okay. Before you tell that story, I'm not going to lie. I was about to camp out for that shoot till we pulled up and seen how many people was online. And I counted and I was like, nah, that math ain't mathing. I'm out. You know what I mean? You must have got there early. When did you get there?
Wait, for the finales? You pull up for that?
I tried to pull up and I realized I wasn't on point like that. So that's when did crazy. You pull up for that?
It's crazy because I was number one, but I'm gonna get to that. I was number one. I'm gonna get to that. All right, so I do my research, right? And this is back then when I was tapped into the Nike Talk forums and ISS crazy. So I remember looking at the lists when they were like saying what stores are gonna get them, because I remember them like, oh, you know, each borough is gonna have a store. So I'm like, fuck, we're in the Bronx, you know, like, where in the Bronx is it gonna be? And I was like, nah, I remember I was thinking it was Fordham, and then it was confirmed that Jimmy Jazz on Fordham had them. So I'm like, oh, it's fucking lit. I'm like, I'm definitely pulling up. I remember it was like a Sunday morning, like early, like 5-6 in the morning, the 41 bus that stops in my neighborhood drops you right on the bottom of Fordham. So I remember I had a little patio chair, like it doesn't even fold up, it's just white. It's just a white patio chair.
on the bus.
I took that shit with me on the bus. I went to McDonald's. I got breakfast. I was like, I planted my seat. I was like, well, nobody else is here, but I'm here. I checked the forums. Nobody's saying anything. I'm like, bro, is this really going to happen? I'm like, nah, they must have gave tickets or something. Right? Like, maybe like an hour, maybe 45 minutes into it, I leave. And I leave and I go back home. And then I think I see people talking on the forums like people are back at Jimmy Jazz. I'm like, what? I was just there. Like, I was like, I don't believe it. I was like, I don't believe it. I go back to Fordham, right? And then I see people there. I'm like, oh, fuck. I count. It's like 13 people or 14 people on the line. I'm like, fuck. All right. So, I walk to Modell's. Modell's right across the street from Jimmy Jazz. And I go buy a chair, right? I'm like, bet. Right? Buy a folding chair while I'm in there. They got countdown packs on sale also. Countdown packs for like $200. And I'm like, all right, if I don't get, you know, what I want, I might get a countdown pack, right? So I got options, you know? It's the 23s or, you know, the countdown pack. I'm just trying to have a good Christmas for myself, you know? And I go back. I'm like, all right, this chair is mine. You feel me? Like, I'm staying here. I'm my spot is solidified. Like, I'm number 14. And yeah, I spent the night. I remember talking to my mom. My mom didn't even believe me. She was like, well, you spending the night outside for sneakers? She thought I was lying. Like, she pulled up on me in the middle of the night, and she brought my coat. Thank God she brought my coat. Because that was the thing.
What a mom.
I just stayed out there. You know, like, I just pulled up. I realized that the
no plan, was nothing. You just...
Yeah. I had my money in my pocket and I was just like, I'm good. Like, I spent my money, because I couldn't go over budget. Remember, guys, I have a budget. Like, I remember those Jordans were like $240, I think $240 or something like that, you know? So I had $500, $200 with the glasses, you know? I didn't have a lot.
Then you bought the camp chair.
And I'm
and the bus.
That's like $10.95 right there. You might have hopped the bus. I'm not going to hold you. The bus might have been free.
Yeah, no, I definitely hopped the bus. Definitely.
You can't pay for the bus with the tight budget.
Chair, I'm definitely hopped the chair. But yeah, I spent the night. I drank some Hennessy. You know, to keep warm, because I was drinking Hennessy and just walking around the block. I just kept on walking around the block and listening to my music, trying to stay warm. The morning came, I got my shoes, and I was fucking hype. And then, crazy enough, like a week later, I got some more money because Christmas came. And I ended up going back to the Modell's, and I got the countdown pack with the sevens and the 16s. And I got it for like $130 or $150. It was ended up being the display, and they told me that. I didn't even ask. Like, they were like,
that was a good countdown pack. I'm not gonna hold.
I was so hype. I got 23 finale 23s. I'm like, nobody got these, and then I got to get a little sale countdown pack. I was like, I was so happy.
What's the best countdown pack? Hold on, my fault. I'm derailing the interview now. What's the best
okay. I don't think pack? I could. So, I don't think, like, I could.
I remember I went crazy for that one because sevens and six, like hair sevens and 16s were just like, at that
That's time, a good one. That's what I'm saying. Now when I look back, I'm like, okay, hair sevens, bread 16s. That's a good combo right there. Yeah. I mean, what was the 11 and 12 is probably the that's only other thing that could really, that could really fuck with it. Like,
well, I went crazy for Carmine's. Carmine's was...
What was the 10 and the 13? Which 10s was in there?
It was a Shadow 10s.
Oh, yeah. So you see, that kind of throws it off a little bit. If they would have went Chicago's, if they'd have went Chicago 10s and like he got game 13s, I could have jacked that or some shit. Or bread 13s, whatever.
I wish.
But anyways, all right. Yeah. I just want to know.
I really well. People always say, for the countdown pack, it should have been Space Jam 11s with cherry 12s.
Oh my god, no! Well, Concord's and I guess there's so many combos you could have had though. Could have been Concord. What was it actually? It was bread. It was bread 11s, right?
Yeah, bread 11s.
What was it? It was.
Taxi 12s.
What was the 12s?
Yeah, taxis, yeah.
Taxi 12s.
All right, that's not so bad.
Yeah, that's the easy answer, but the obscure one.
I would have rather Concords and playoffs, if you ask me. I feel like that's a little bit better. But I don't
know. Okay.
I don't think we'll ever see those again. I don't know.
But, people don't like playoffs like that. We got playoffs. I'm sorry, John. We got playoffs recently, and they just sitting on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the same. I want to hear a little bit about the collections. I know you're in a transition phase, but you still got the sneakers. I mean, what's sort of in the stash? I mean, I didn't hear as much about like kind of your evolution, but like, you have stuff from back in the day, or did you kind of more of a guy who cycles through it?
Yeah, I mean, well, it was tough for me because when I first got into sneakers super heavy, it was probably like 2007-ish, and I was really heavy into a lot of like vintage stuff. So I bought a lot of stuff, and I've lost a lot of stuff over the years. Like, I've had to say bye to a few things because I do wear my shoes, so I've probably lost about 100 shoes just to like crumble. You know what I mean? One day I'm just walking outside and it's no more and I got to buy slides. So on that end, I don't know. There's a lot of random shoes I have in the tuck still at this point. You know what I mean? Like I would love certain shoes. I would love to like Taiwans. I would love to try to find a way to size swap on that end so that I could wear. Those are kind of like my grails and they've been on ice for quite some time. So I would like to have those. I had a pair of OG Seattle 10s. I don't know where the fuck them shits are these days. I have no idea. I've lost so many shoes in the process as well.
Bro, those got retro though. You could buy a new pair of those.
Yeah, but I had the OG pair. You know what I mean? Like I had OG Hair 7s at one point that were wearable that I was wearing outside.
So OG just, Jordans, OG Air Max, stuff like that? Like Nike runners?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of shit like this. Yeah, it's very diverse. I like so many different kinds of shoes. There's really no way to peg it, to be honest. I guess it's mostly Nike stuff, really, but all across the spectrum. I'm like, it could be some foams. It could be some Flyposites. It could be Kevin Garnett's. You know I mean, it could be down to... I have a lot of Nike IDs as well. I did a ton of like Air Force One Nike IDs. A lot of Air Force Ones, really. I'm a big Air Force One guy, so... Like, I'm huge on the Air Force One collection, which I don't know how that really fits into my whole comfort scheme these days. I don't, like, it's tough because Air Force Ones aren't the most comfortable shoes in the world, but I really love the look of them. It's probably one of my favorite shoes ever. So, yeah, Air Force Ones, Air Max 95s, shit like that. Just, I'm really all across the board, though. These days, I just can't really get into the vintage stuff because a lot of stuff that I like isn't being retroed. And it's unwearable. And it's going so far back, you can't even wear... I think shoes probably stay wearable for about 10 years in my lifespan of being a shoe collector that I can think of, unless you take care of them very well and you wear them. But like dead stock, you can't get past 10 years anyways. So if shoes aren't regularly being restocked, I'm at mercy of whatever's available. You know what I mean? So like these days, I could go from, you know what I mean? Amy Leon, Dior, like... 990s to, you know what I mean, a foam posit. Like, it's really like everything in between. Like,
yeah. And even if you can get a donor, the cost of restoring something, it's going to cost you $200 to get the donor. And it's like, it's not even interesting. I want to ask though about the move. Like, did moving, I know when I moved, it kind of, well, it didn't really change anything, but at least I thought about it for a little bit and I cleared out a little bit of stuff. Did it make you kind of want to reassess your situation, or you kind of like...
No, sure. I mean, there was a point, I think after COVID, where I realized like everybody was kind of in the house during 2020. And so a lot of like people were getting on Instagram Live. There was a lot of sneaker lives as well as there was hat lives. And so I just remember tapping into a lot of sneaker lives and just like looking at people's collections and being like, wow, I really dropped a bag on the sneaker shit. Like I could, like where we were in this situation, I could easily be up like a house right now, at least, you know what I mean? Like, and I didn't really look at this as like a business perspective. To me, it was always something that I just loved. I just like getting fly. So like, I just wanted to have shoes, and I wear my shoes into the ground, and I didn't think about keeping certain shoes pristine, or you know, resale value afterwards, or selling my shoes after I wore them. And I regretted it heavily. So I think at that point, I was buying everything that I thought could possibly flip or that I might want to wear later. And I was just sitting on stuff, and I was buying two pairs of things. Like, you know what I mean? I know how resale gets. I wanted to keep stuff. So with the move, I realized how much stuff I was actually sitting on that's just like brand new that I've never even had a chance to crack. And then now I literally have to sell. So we're in a position where, you know, I could see a lot of new stuff come into the collection, but also just like, I guess, the influx of money, because I had a little bit more access than usual at that point. I had made a few friends at that point. I understand it, what relationships meant. I got my little brother a job at Foot Locker that helped out for a few years. Like, I was able to kind of collect on a few things. He didn't really care as much, and we wore the same size, so it just kind of worked out perfectly on that end. So yeah, I think just moving just makes you realize how much of a hoarder we all are, really. And it's just like, wow, we're really like holding on to all of this shit. And it's like, when have I ever had the chance to even wear any of this stuff?
You must hold on.
With shoes, it's tough because it's like I really hold on to shoes on some, like, when the perfect time comes, I'm gonna wear these shoes. Like, it'll be like, maybe it's my birthday, maybe it's New Year's Eve 15 years from now, but it's gonna happen. And like, and I'm gonna be ready for that moment. So I don't know, like, it's tough with me. Like, I think I've learned I want to start wearing more of my shoes these days, because once I get them, it is what it is.
Yeah, I know when I was moving, it was sort of, you know, you don't trust anyone with your shoes and your hats. You know, someone could take all your furniture and all your stuff that's actually you need, but
John, I hired movers and they didn't touch any of my shoes or any of my hats.
No,
they touched everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to physically carry it. So you look at everything. It's a good way to kind of do an inventory. That's what I want to ask you, Lonnie, because sometimes you do those kind of looking through the stash, and I love when everyone does that. I love when you do it. It's kind of like, kind of seems like you're finding things you forgot about. Is that happening, or you know where everything is? Are you the type of guy that forgets about, or
is, I know where everything is, but I will say there have been times where I'm getting dressed and I can only find one shoe. It's happened. It's happened at like a handful of times. Yeah, I have a lot of shoes.
So you digging around sometimes and finding things that maybe you not necessarily forgot about, but haven't worn in a while, and say, oh, you know, I should break these out, and whether you do or not.
Yeah, I try to wear everything, just because that's how you pretty much keep things livable. Right, just keep, like, wear it, like, you have to wear it for them to, you know, maintain their life. So yeah, I try to wear everything. That's why, like, honestly, my practice is try not to wear things that I'm not ready to just mess up, because I try to, like, really enjoy my clothing when I start wearing them.
You guys,
and then I also buy doubles, you know, like, when there's certain shoes that I like, it's just like, okay, I need to buy another pair. Or I buy like Air Max 95s, neon Air Max 95s. I have 3 to 4 pairs.
I think like classic Jordans end up like that more than anything, because, you know, 5 years down the line, no matter what the economy is like, eventually them shits is going to be $550. There's no way around it. Like, if it's a Bread 4 or a Bread 11, or anything that's like a classic colorway, really, it's just like, it's inevitable. Like, that shit is gonna be for the high eventually.
Bread 4s being $700 is crazy. Crazy. Like, I think, man, about, like,
I just have to take the insole out of mine.
Bro, you remember, like, 500 was like the highest. Like, you, like, just like in the early years of sneakers where OGs were respected, right? Like, I remember, like, getting an OG pair of shoes, like, it'd be $500. Okay, the retro was $300, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now every OG colorway is like that a year after or 6 months after. OG colorway. But, yeah, it's wild. I want to get into hats too. I know we're talking a lot about sneakers, but we could do this. We could do sneakers all day. I'm going to actually take a break, and I'm going to do something in the spirit of segments. I don't do segments on this, but you guys kill it with the segments. So I'm going to do a segment. I'm going to do a fire round, rapid fire with you guys, just to give us a, well, give me a break, but you guys get no break because you guys are doing all the talking. Here we go. It doesn't have to be a one word answer, but just, I don't know. Try and keep it short. I keep going to Lonnie because he's at the top of my screen. So we'll do Lonnie first. Dunks or Jordan 1s?
Dunks.
Jesus.
It's Jordan 1s for me. I broke my foot in a pair of Samba Dunks, so fuck Dunks, honestly. I'm never wearing them again unless they're SBs and they have the extra cushioning.
All right. Fair enough. Lonnie, Flight Club or Stadium Goods?
Flight Club.
Flight Club all day.
All right. This one, I don't know why I included it. Laces loose or laces tied?
Laces tied.
It depends on the shoe for me, honestly. Yeah. Some shoes are going to be loose and some shoes are going to be tied. Like, I'm not always tied. It depends on feeling.
Shoe. For sure. I was just in New York, so this is a serious one. Cheese or pepperoni?
Cheese.
I mean, it should be cheese. If the spot is fire, it should be cheese. If you've got to get pepperoni, it's not as fire as you think it is.
Something's wrong. Yeah. All right, Yankee Stadium or MSG?
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, we're from the Bronx. There's nothing like having a stadium in the middle of the hood. Like Yankee Stadium, you could really get poked up the block.
Yeah, there's no love at
not these days. Do you double up on sneakers anymore? Let's say that. You still do that, Lonnie?
I don't get that energy anymore from sneakers. There is nothing that comes out nowadays that makes me really feel like I need to double up. Well, no, I'm lying. Because White Cement 3s, as they came out recently, I would double up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jesus, do you do any doubling up?
Yeah, not so much anymore, but I definitely think about doubling up these days. I thought about doubling up on the J-Tip Saucony, I'm not going to lie, or Saucony.
Oh, true.
When you guys are talking about doubling up. I thought about that, but. My philosophy always when doubling up was like, if I cut back to 30 or 40 sneakers, what's that pair? And then I end up with 30 or 40 pairs that I double up on. Not that bad, but you know where I'm going. What about hats? Lonnie, you double up?
Oh, yeah. I double up on hats all the time.
Yeah.
Well, specifically like Red Yankees, I double up on for sure.
Quadruple up.
Yeah.
Triple up.
Yeah. Red Yankees for sure. I don't know anything that I feel like I'm gonna wear a lot. Like, oh well, actually, I'm gonna double up on this Royal Pinky. Like, it just restocked on Hat Club. I'm gonna buy another. Like, I wear it a lot, so I must buy another. Yeah.
So you're in favor, Yeezus? I'm sure you have a couple, but are you generally?
Yeah, I'm infamous for doubling up on hats for sure. I have a trillion doubles. I think in hats, it just makes a lot of sense for me because of the access I have to certain hats. If I can double up on certain hats later down the line, if I end up missing something, it works with the resellers. It's very easy to kind of just trade off and be like, well, I got this. You know what I mean? I know y'all getting this one off for the high. And so I can kind of just get anything I want at this point. I could miss a hat right now. The most panic hat you could think of, and I'm pretty sure I could grab a double out the collection and swap out and be fine at the end of the day. So
I've heard you say
and it's $50, right. So it's a little bit easier to double up on. $100 is a little bit easier to spend than $400
for sure. All right, Lonnie, Asics or New Balance?
New Balance for sure.
Jesus.
I'm going New Balance. I don't think it's particularly close right now. Although ASICS is making a strong push right now.
That's why I asked this. It seems like ASICS is getting, at least people are talking more.
I don't know what's going on with the style of shoes that people are wearing these days. Yeah, I don't know where this shit really came from, but ASICS is primed to dominate in that position. You know what I mean? Like,
bro, it's,
they have the perfect models for that.
Yeah, it's like you talk about Solomon or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys remember a certain time, like when younger, like just liking like trail shoes. Like I remember, like in the fifth grade, like we discovered Merrells. Like, like before that, like it was a certain model, New Balance that was like black and gray, or like different tones of gray that like everybody had. Like I don't know.
I didn't know about New Balance, but I knew about Merrells and I knew about ACGs and stuff like that. Yeah, definitely.
Asics I didn't really learn about until Ronnie Fay.
Yeah,
like it really wasn't that. Like
yeah, I mean, well, we knew New Balance I want to say at least like eight years before we really got introduced to Asics, because Asics was really David Z's and Ronnie and you know what I mean, that's really what put Asics on the map. But before that, we were in 574s. And like I don't even know what year that was, but that was real early. Like 574s were relatively big in New York. We weren't wearing 990s as much as the DMV was wearing, but we were definitely wearing 574s.
Oh yeah, really? I didn't know that. Damn.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. All right, chopped cheese or bacon, egg, and cheese?
Chopped cheese. Well,
this one, I don't think there's a right answer. Not that there's a right answer for anything. Again, I was just in New York, so I could taste it right now.
It's tough because not everybody can make a bacon, egg, and cheese, but not many people can make a chopped cheese. It's which one am I willing to take the risk on, you know? Like, which one am I willing to accept a bad sandwich on and not really be too upset?
This is more philosophical. It's more high level. Just
if you put it like that, then you got to choose the chopped cheese, because it's easier to make a good chopped cheese than it is to make a good bacon, egg, and cheese. But the thing is, you can get the bacon, egg, and cheese at any time in the day. So, I'm jacking the bacon, egg, and cheese. I'm not going to hold you. It's kind of undefeated.
What's the toppings on the bacon, egg, and cheese? Because I usually don't do anything. Like, I know, you know.
Nothing at all.
Camp Out on his videos, he's always doing, what does he say? What's the thing? Ketchup, salt, pepper? What is it? KP? There's like a three-line.
Ketchup? I don't know.
But what do you guys put on it?
Lonnie, you could go, because mine is pretty simple.
Well, on the bacon, egg, and cheese?
Yeah,
salt, pepper, hot sauce, ketchup. It depends on my mood. Sometimes I don't do any ketchup.
Yeah,
because sometimes I'll do jelly. I'll do jelly on the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Jelly is crazy.
You don't need all those condiments and clowns. You know, sometimes the ketchup too sweet, too sugary.
Yeah, when I have you guys separately on the podcast down the road, we'll talk about food, Lonnie, because I know it's a passion for you and I love watching you, but we probably don't have time to talk about food right now, but let's finish this one. What's on your bacon, egg, and cheese?
Yeah, I mean, it's mayo, salt, and pepper for me. It's pretty easy. It's mayo, salt, and pepper. Yeah, that's it. I mean, American cheese, keep it calm.
Nice. All right, sneakers. First come, first serve, a raffle.
I'm not built for the first come first serve no more. I'm an old man now these days. Yeah. So you first come first serve me, shit is looking like the fucking denim tears drop. I can't do shit like that. The Cortez, the motherfuckers running across. Like I can't do shit like that. I'm not running across the city on 42nd Street. So yeah, I mean for me, I guess it's gonna be the raffle. I don't really have faith in the raffle. The thing with the raffle, John, I'm not gonna lie to you. If you know the right people, the raffle always works in your favor. You know what I mean?
So can the first come, first serve, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter if you know the right people either way.
But the raffle is a little bit easier to rig than the first come, first serve.
No line.
There's less commotion. Yeah, they call you. You get to show up whenever you want.
Yeah, the Instagram raffle, no one even
nice.
Knows.
It's a nice vibe.
it's a black hole of who's
that, it's way easier to backdoor things. If you backdoor things before the actual first come, first serve, and they show up and the pairs ain't there, shit gets kind of wacky, you know what I mean? So it's much better when everybody just thinks they lost.
Ever doing those Supreme crazy and running and around through the park, Supreme? You guys ever do any of that crazy stuff?
Oh,
that wasn't even that long ago.
So, I remember when that was going on, but I knew people that would know where the actual destination was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Lonnie. First come, first serve. A raffle.
Where you could pay for that info, John.
Yeah, sure. I know it's all about working the angles. So yeah. do you have preferred raffles, Lonnie? Yeah.
First come, first serve. Yeah, definitely raffles. First come, first serve. I've done my time. I've stood on many lines.
All right, I got a couple more. When we're talking about rare or desirable hats, are you in favor of restocks? I'm not talking about re-rocks, actual restocks.
Yeah. Sure. I love a restock because I can wear it more. You know, like I'm so comfortable with certain fits. It's like I can't see myself wearing certain hats without, you know, like it's a part of me. To a certain part.
Like, what about sneakers, Lonnie? And then we'll go to you, just because I know for sneakers, for me, I'm that snob who wants the sneaker to be a little different. Like, I like that the Reimagined 3s were different because I got my 88s here, and you know, I like my 88s, and you know, I've kept them, taken care of them for a long time. But what about sneakers? You cool with the restock? I mean, it's not really a restock, it's like a reissue, right?
Before, I used to be mad at the restocks. Like I used to go out of my way to buy the originals when the retro was coming. I can't, so like with restocks, I can go for like, I like to double up. If I could double up, why not? Because one thing that I wish they would do well with fitteds, what I think should happen is that we should get like years. You know, at least with sneakers, you know, you get the manufacturing date and things like that. You know, you get that tag, you get that information. You don't really get that with hats. So, like, a lot of times people are guessing, you know, where this came from or something like that. I don't see why now we can't get, like, proper manufacturing tags.
Yeah.
We do so much extra other shit that we shouldn't be doing on these hats with this embroidery.
For sure. It's for the collectors. And I know, Yuzis, you talk about this a lot. It's like you always highlight when something's reissued, not restocked necessarily. Because if it's different, it's a reissue. If it's a restock, it's almost like the same batch or, you know, but you always highlight, oh, this one has no baddie or this one has different size. Like, so what's your view? Do you like it when they come out and then the exact same? Or would you rather they mix it up a little bit?
I mean, I don't mind a restock that's kind of identical, but it is a little bit nice when you have that little bit of a difference, because as somebody who has hats that have restocked and now have the original and the restock, if you happen to have both of them without tags, I like some of them, you can't tell the difference at all. Like Lonnie said, I think manufacturing tags with dates could help a little bit, because sometimes I'm looking at hats, if they are restocked within the right amount of time frame and they have the same price tag on them, now I don't know which is which sometimes. And it could be coming from the same country with the same price tag, and there's really no difference, same serial number at that point because of the store. And so now I have no difference between these two hats, and there's really no way to differentiate them. That's really the only issue on that side. As a collector, you'd like to be able to differentiate your hats or whatever it is you are collecting. You know what I mean? So when there's no like nothing that makes it a little bit special, it gets a little weird for me. But yeah, I think that's why I would rather a little bit of a difference. But I don't want to gatekeep hats either. Like at the end of the day, like I want everybody to be able to attain what they want, because if you can't get the things that you want, you won't continue on in this thing. You know what I mean? It won't go any further if people can't obtain the stuff that they really want. That's why re-rocks even happen, because people are like, you know what I mean, they just want a part of the pie. And it's like,
yeah.
People are accepting fakes now, you know, like
yeah, that's yeah, the whole
reps is kind of whole other, yeah, weird, but I mean, live your life.
Well, like, I should have known that one wasn't going to be a quick answer, so I'll give you guys my last one. Trump or Giuliani?
Oh,
no, that was a joke. That was a joke. You guys know that.
I was like, damn, that's the less of two evils, for real. Like,
I don't need an answer. That was just for the reaction. No one saw, but you guys looked at me like, what is this? that was a joke. But a New York question. I had to ask it. Okay, back on track. I didn't ask it, and you guys probably talked about this on the podcast. When did you guys meet? How did you guys link up?
What year did we meet? Was that 2008 or 9? I want to say 9, probably. 2009?
Yeah, I think it was 2020.
Yeah, I think we just had a mutual friend, and Lonnie was hanging out at his house a lot at the time. And so I kind of came through one day, and Lonnie was there. I think it was like a barbecue or something like that. And we just had a great time. And we're not even friends with that person anymore. So like, it's just like, I don't know. Just kind of gravitated towards Lonnie as a person. He's a likable guy. And we had similar interests. So we kind of just like rolled on that end. And we stayed friends for a while. And then when hats happened, Lonnie's the person that even like told me that hats were a thing. Like, I was always buying hats. We were buying fitteds and wearing fitteds with our outfits. But he's the one that told me about Hat Club and like the pink brim. And that's how I kind of got into hats for real. So yeah, I mean, we've been friends for quite some time. We just kind of were doing things as regular friends.
Yeah. And when did the podcast sort of pop up in one of your heads?
I mean, it really, we owe it all to Lonnie, honestly. He was frequenting a office that was kind of trying to do podcast stuff. And every time he would show up, he would have hats with him. And so people started asking questions like, yo, what's going on with that hat shit? Like, and Lonnie's telling like, oh yeah, this is not. They knew that there was a community behind it. And they were like, yo, we're doing this podcast stuff. Like, you don't want to have like a podcast about hats? And Lonnie was like, I don't know. If I'm going to do it, I got to have my boy with me. And so he brought me in and he was like, yo, like, they're trying to get me to do a podcast. Like, I don't really know, but he wanted us to talk about hats. And I was like, that sounds interesting. But I wasn't really interested at first, to be honest. And they brought us in and had like a whole meeting where they were like, listen, guys, I think this is a good idea. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but people kind of fuck with y'all. I think if you did this, people will gravitate towards it. And I was worried because I never saw the hat community really leave Instagram like that, at least our side of the hat community. I wasn't super on Views from the Vault, so I didn't even know that this could happen on YouTube for real. And I was like, I don't know, are we going to get our side of the community to come to YouTube for real? And sure enough, like I just kind of trusted it, and we did it, and people really liked it. And so we had to keep doing it. They left us no choice. It was like, we just looked at each other one day, and we was like, damn, we got to keep doing this shit, huh? Because motherfuckers like it.
So you guys started off kind of unlike other people. It seemed like you guys started off at a, you know, to be honest, like a higher level of like a higher standard, like a quality, like, you know, you had the camera set up. It wasn't like, you know, just two guys sitting in their living room with the phone in front of them, right? Like, you guys had a plan, right?
I mean, I think that once we said, I think part of it, it was like, well, like, we'll do it, but we want it to look a certain way and feel a certain way. And it was like, at first it was like, okay, would you just do like I was like, I wouldn't do a podcast if there was no video. Like, there has to be video involved. So that's the initial off rip. It was like, we wouldn't do it without video. And then once we kind of negotiated that, it was like, okay, well, it has to look good. The stuff that I like to watch, I would want it to be something that I would watch. So naturally, we're actually friends. We don't live that far from each other. We're in the same city. We can link up and we have a space. So it's like, we just utilize our resources. We found a camera that was close to us, and eventually the camera got upgraded. You know what I mean? We found a bunch of shit that was around, and it was like, you know what? Like, this is what we're using right now. And eventually it was like, okay, people like this shit. We have to invest into it. It has to be something that you can actually watch and enjoy. So it was a natural progression. It's just, I wouldn't do anything trash. And I think there's still things that I could speak for Lonnie on this. I know he watches the show sometimes, and he thinks there's stuff that we can do that's better. So that we're on a quest to always try to make the show better and evolve the show. And as it gets deeper into the episodes, it's like, you don't want episode 50 to look like episode 75, you know? So like, we're just on a mission to kind of always make it, we're at 75 now. You don't want 100 to look like 75. We want to try to add to the arsenal and make it better as we go along. Right?
And you got
I just wanted you to confirm. I was speaking on your behalf right there.
Yeah, and you guys, seems like you use your network and you have other people helping you who have their skills and strengths, right? And you know, let them do their thing too, right? I was hearing you talking about Rob. I don't know who Rob.
Well, shouts to Robbie Digital. Well, if you don't know Rob, in the sneaker world, you might want to know that guy. You might have seen him on Sneakers App, actually. You know what I mean? Rob does he works in Nike DNA, so he helps on the production side of things. He's our editor and kind of like the production guy, where if we need some help on the tech side, he kind of sets up that kind of side of that side of things. So the studio we work out of is one of like his friends, and I mean he's one of Lonnie's like friends from back in the day, and also kind of one of my friends at some point. We kind of all interconnected as friends. Yeah. So it takes a village. Like nothing like this could kind of run how it does run without having a few pieces. Like we do a lot of the creative side, but like on the back side, like we have a lot of help. You know what I mean? When it comes to just planning and just figuring things out. I think without help from random friends that we might not even mention on the podcast, a lot of people make this thing work. You know what I mean? Even down to like when we first started, certain friends that we have just helping us get hats from releases and being like, yo, I'll lend you this hat for now just for the show before we can actually get hats from stores. You know what I mean? It takes, anytime you're doing something, you need people that are invested in what you got going on. So without people trying to help us along, I don't think we got much going on, just us two.
Yeah, well, it definitely comes across both your guys' work and the teamwork that you have. It's the product is definitely high quality. I think everyone who watches agree. I always recommend it to you. I wanted to ask you guys kind of like, you know, kind of not really an answer to the question. It's kind of, you know, tough to answer. But, you know, since you guys have started the podcast, the hat world continues to evolve. But have you learned anything about the hack community, maybe good or bad? I try to keep it positive, but you could tell me something negative. I mean, you see the comments, you see, you know, you guys are in line. Maybe it doesn't have to do with the podcast, but where do you think we are? I mean, are we, is it still going to grow? Is it going to grow forever? I feel like, you know, it's still only the beginning. Is that possible?
Lonnie, you can.
Wait, what was the end of that? You said
no. I'm saying it still feels like the beginning. You know, it still feels like most people when you compare it to sneakers, for example, hats have been around forever. Everyone had a hat before they had a pair of nice sneakers. Yeah. Every kid had a baseball hat, but you know, it feels like the growth is only at the beginning when you compare it to sneakers. And maybe that's not a fair comparison. Oh. I'm just wondering if you have any perspective from doing the podcast, or just where you stand in your place in the community.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel like the hat community is still on like an incline, is still growing. Just because the hat community gives people a chance to be themselves and brand themselves. Always say with like shoes, it's tough because everybody talks down on the reseller in sneakers. But everybody in the end wants to have a sneaker store reselling shoes.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Like,
yeah, once you get a store, you're not looked down upon anymore.
Yeah, pretty much, you know? So that's really the only way to, like, eat in the sneaker world. But, you know, in hats, you know, people, they brand themselves. They make pins. They make clothing. They make hats. You know, they create experiences, you know, and I see that having a lot more longevity and like success than what it is with sneakers. Because, you know, with sneakers now, we see like you don't really see much events or like just energy of people coming together for sneakers. Like it's just not there. It's not there at all. But with hats, you know, people, you know, they go to, they travel for hats, you know, and you see the same people in different states at the, you know, different stores, you know, but it's just like, oh, we acknowledge each other in the community more, you know. It's just, I see that lasting a lot longer than, you know, what the current state of sneakers are.
Yeah, I think sneakers has kind of already hit that, and where it goes from here is where it goes. But Hats have a long way to go.
Well, it's just because, you know what it is? It's the brands. They got greedy, and it's just like, oh, you know, we see how people are reselling the shoes. You got to think about that from a business standpoint. You know, like the CEO of Nike, he could download the GOAT app and resell shoes himself. You know, he could see what these shoes are reselling for. And then you think about that, they sell them at for 200, they resell them for 1400. It's like, shit.
Someone put them on that app 3 months early.
Yeah, you know, but
yeah.
My bad. I keep on losing my train of thought. But yeah, like it's just crazy. You know, like, but with sneakers, it's just there used to be sneaker conventions. That's what used to have the love, the sneaker conventions, forums, you know, like.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of in the same space that we were at that time when it comes to sneakers, like where we were with hat with.
Yeah.
We're the sneakers with hats now.
Yeah.
Instead of the forums, it's Instagram.
Yeah.
Literally. You know? Because there's no Nike talk. We're just all on Instagram together, creating that kind of sense of community. So in that sense, I think it's really up to the community how far it goes. Like we could take this super far, or it could kind of like plateau itself. And it's really like now that people are getting a chance to collaborate with brands and stores at a high level, like so many people, if we don't treat it with care, then it won't last very long. You know what I mean? Everybody won't have the access that we have right now if they don't take it seriously. If you don't take the design process seriously and the drop process seriously, then you'll start losing those opportunities, like at mass, because people are going to start losing money on hats that people are creating. So it's really up to us to try to follow through on these opportunities and make sure that we make them count and that they do what they're supposed to do. And that's how kind of the community grows. Because so many people that I know are not wearing fitteds right now, but they know somebody that is. And so all you need is that one mainstream person to kind of cross it over and be doing it on the regular. And before you know it, it's out of here. And it's not that many like degrees of separation, to be honest. Like you might see like Central C was wearing a fucking pinky at Drake's concert. You know what I mean? And Drake posted him on his Instagram. And it's like shit like that. Like it's just like all you need is the right people to kind of be in the right spots and wearing the right things for, you know what I mean, the brands to kind of cross over. And I think brands are starting to see that. And so some of the high level brands are chasing after these artists and chasing after high profile people to wear these hats and try to make it into something. But I think fitted hats are kind of, you'll see them pop up across fashion, like with like bigger, whether it's rappers or just whoever's popping out there these days. They're just wearing bad hats. So once they figure out what a good hat looks like, it could get crazy. I think but it's really up to us. If we don't treat it right, then it'll go away fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the same way people grew to like have like a sneaker taste, you know, because that wasn't a thing before. You know, there was some people that they never cared about a lightweight shoe.
Yeah.
You know, like working in retail, like let me tell you, you know how many people come to me, they're like, I want a lightweight shoe that's cushioned. I'm like, honey, you gotta pick him, but which one you want? You want something cushioned or you want something lightweight? Because it's two different shoes.
Yeah, there's just so many sneakers. I feel like, you know, even if you think that the mainstream and, you know, everyone walking the streets are all wearing the same thing and it's kind of played out, there's still, you know, that next guy, you know, who's rocking something that, you know, you've never seen before. There's still so many of that, but I feel like the hat world is going slower in terms of mainstreaming itself out, which is good. I think that's good. We don't want it to blow up overnight, right? We want, if it's gonna become a big mainstream thing, let it happen over a long period of time, or else it'll burn itself out, right?
Yeah, look at the Super Bowl. The NFL was making fitted. You know that's I guess like a step in a good direction. I feel like because I feel like the NBA may follow right behind them and do something. You know.
And then there's all the guys, the old timers who've been collecting it for 50 years, and they're like, oh, what are you talking about? I've been doing this. But most of us haven't been doing that long. Do you guys think, I mean, Do you think there are too many releases? I feel like it's normal. You know, things should go on sale. Hats should go, you know, during the pandemic, no hats went on sale because there was a shortage, right? But there wasn't enough coming. But I feel like, you know, it's good to have things should go on sale. And you know, maybe there aren't too many releases. What do you guys think?
It would be nice because the price of hats have gone up tremendously. Before, we were living, like, really think there was a time where you could get hats for $34, $35. Like, you know, like, you used to really get a hat for $30 in, like, the mom and pop stores, $35, $34.99, you paying in Foot Locker or something like that. And then gray bottoms came back around, like, 2010, 2011, you know, we grew to love them, or not, earlier than that, 2009, you know, then we started paying $45, $40. You know, and it was consistent at that. Now we're paying 60.
Yeah, it's too many drops, bro. So many drops. Because with the 60, when you add $60, and then it's like, and now everyone has a drop. So it's like, it's a community. I would love to support as many people as I possibly can. But everybody got a fucking drop every day. And it's like, wow. I've told myself and told everyone else that I would cut back. And in myself cutting back, I'm still spending so much money. It's impossible to keep up. And you just gotta, to a certain extent, you gotta pick and choose your battles. It's like, all right, what am I really gonna buy? And even the people that are kind of, that have slowed down like tremendously, they still end up buying shit, because if you've been in this thing long enough and you know a few people in it and you know somebody that's making something right now. So like, it's just like, I wish we would kind of slow down a bit, because even the people that are creating and getting a chance to create, they're getting excited. So now their drops are coming in faster. You know what I mean? And they have a lot more planned with so many different stores. And it's like, you look at some of the creators that's out here, they made so many hats this year, so many collaborations with so many different stores. You look at people like Ronnie Fitteds or the Rushmore Crew, they got like 50 hats on right now, halfway through the year. That's across different stores, just collaborating. You know what I mean? Or you have somebody like Blue, where Blue's made, who knows how many hats Blue Brims has made at this point in the year. And it's just like, it's hard to keep up with. Honestly, it's so many people, just nonstop. I feel like I'm getting attack from every angle. I must have bought at least like 10 hats this week, and I didn't plan to.
And then there's new people who've been waiting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years to make a hat, and then they finally come out with one and it's fire, and you're like, I gotta get that. And even if it isn't, you want to support them. So there's that. But then there's also, you have a relationship with the store, maybe a store hooks you up, and you don't want to kind of let that relationship slide, because you know you want to support them, right? Because that's what the relationship is. They need business, they want to stay in business. So you're like, oh, I haven't bought a hat from them in a while, I gotta, you know. And you feel like, and it's not really pressure from them, and it's not pressure from your friends, it's pressure we put on ourselves, right?
Yeah, you definitely want to support the stores to support us. So many stores send us things and support us that we definitely would like to spend some dollars some days, you know what I mean? It feels like it's due sometimes. So it's like, it gets tough. It gets tough out here, I'm not going to lie. It's tricky.
So I know, Yeezus, you've been talking about some hats coming out. I don't know if there's any update on it. We have any update on that, or just
probably September at this point, it's looking like. So yeah. And then we have a bunch of other stuff that me and Lonnie have worked on that I don't know. It was submitted sometime in March. So who knows at that point
when those. Oh, I was gonna ask Lonnie if you have anything. So you guys have something that's it's somewhere in the system.
Yeah, it's out there in the world eventually.
Yeah, I have a couple of those too. But you know, just be patient, and as long as they're somewhere, they're better than nowhere. I had a couple more before I let you guys go. You've been very generous of your time. Back to sneakers. I don't even know if I asked this, but I'm curious, because it seems like there might be some similarities with hats. When you get a sneaker, are you the type, typically, I know there are exceptions, but are you typically the type to stash it away and bust it out? You know, the whole philosophy, everyone else will beat up theirs and then I'll come out 1 or 2 years later. Lonnie, are you that type, or you like to lace them up right away?
I do both. I do both. It really depends.
How you're feeling?
Yeah, it really depends on the energy. Like when I get the item in hand, like I say that like what shoe is that I love? The that Air Jordan Low SB. I think it's like the Costin navy blue.
The white and right? Navy, yeah.
Bro, let me tell you something. I remember when I bought that shoe, like I remember I was just like, oh, these are simple. As soon as I received that shoe, as soon as I got it in the mail, I took it out the box and I wore it to go get my hair braided. And from that day, I just like I wear that shoe so much, I need another pair. But then there's certain shoes that I get where it's just like, or like my Air Jordan 1s, my the Chicago's that just came out, you know, like I'm in no rush to wear those. And I got a 2015 pair, right? Like it's like I could put the 2015 pair away now and just wear the Lost and Founds, you know, or I could just wear the 2015 pair and put the Lost and Founds away, you know, like it's just, or just not wear them either one. Just
yeah, for people who double up and have similar colorways,
you know,
it's kind of a different question because you know you always got something else in the tuck waiting to.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have a philosophy on that one?
Yeah, I would tuck a sneaker much more than I would tuck a hat. I think I've tucked so many hats these days that, and then it comes back out, and I gotta buy the second one, and I've worn the second one before I get to wear the first one. Like I was stuck in the Red Velvet 99 since this shit came out, and then this shit came back out, and I was like, okay, fine, got another one. And so now I'm definitely wearing the retro before I ever get a chance to wear the original one. So I try to wear the hats as fast as I can, because otherwise they just get they get thrown into the abyss back here, and I don't know when they get found.
Yeah, and I think some of it has to do with, to be honest, at least for me, you know, if you have something that maybe not too many other people want to have, it's you know, you want to break it out, maybe you want to you want to go and show out and wear it, or if you have a GR that everyone's sleeping on at the same time, you want to maybe show everyone like, hey, you know what, you guys are sleeping on this. So it could work both ways. It's something hype or something, at least for me, something hype or something completely opposite of hype, kind of let people know, make a statement a little bit.
Sure.
Last one. I know you guys probably have other things to do tonight, but when you guys are outside buying hats, mostly probably not lining up for sneakers as much. How much of it is sneakers? How much of these people that, like, I haven't been in line at NoHo. Like, is everyone rocking sneakers? Are some people strictly hat people? Has sneakers totally engulfed everyone? And always has, or there's still some people who are just hat people.
There's some people that are just hat people. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, but it's rare, I think. I think in the hat community, most people generally have an interest in clothing.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of how they all got here.
I feel like it's the new thing. Like, you know, I feel like everybody's been educated, like in the hat community's been educated on like fashion brands and stuff like that, and like certain combinations.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of people that came into the hat game and they were dressing bad and they didn't realize it until they got around people that were dressing decent in the hat game. And when it was like, yo, you guys are dressing bad, and they kind of rewrited their wrongs.
Yeah.
And now they're finding out, they're educating themselves on what's out there. And I think we try our best with the show to do that as well with our current releases and just show you what's out there clothing wise and sneaker wise. But I think there is a good amount of people that like are with the combos are a thing. So there's a good amount of people that are wearing shoes and hats together for sure. I think that's a community within itself almost of people that like, we know you like hats and shoes together. And that's like I think you know those guys, you know what I mean? I think everybody kind of knows those guys, whether it's like Max or Taylor or John or us or, you know, Peanut. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of people. Naughty's one of the originals that really got the combo pick started. So just, yeah, I think we all kind of came from that world originally. And that's why we're collecting hats really to begin with. At least some of the bigger collectors. I know AMS is like that as well, has a pretty big shoe collection. Brett's shoe collection is pretty good. Yeah, most of my hat friends have pretty decent shoe collections as well. I think it's just, it comes with the territory.
Yeah, and I guess
like I said, there's some stragglers, of course.
Sure, and if you're a hat person and you're not into sneakers, yeah, you're going to be around these people, and they're going to say, hey, you know, check them out, and then you're going to go grab a pair, and then the cycle begins, just like if you're a sneaker person and you don't have that many hats. And yeah, I come more from the sneaker world and getting a lot of people into hats. And yeah, quite frankly, I think a lot of them wish they never did, but you know, we all have to deal with our we all have to deal with our hoarding, like you said, our own way. Anything we should know about what's going on other than the podcast? Anything we should look forward to? Obviously, you guys grinding on it consistently. So if anyone doesn't know about it, the Off the Dome podcast, do not miss it. Check it out if you don't know about it. But anything else we should look forward to? I know, like you guys said, some hats in the system. Hopefully see them soon. Just more content. Keep an eye on you guys.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to work on the product.
Yeah. A lot of ideas. It's literally stay tuned, you know, like we're not holding back anything, you know, like we're definitely we're trying to put out more, so as soon as it's ready in our hands, we're giving it to the people, in a sense.
Yeah, the turnover is pretty quick.
More content. More content, more hats eventually. I think people are kind of waiting on us, like, when are the hats coming? So hats will happen, and when they happen, they will come in abundance eventually. Merch, definitely look out for some merch. I think we're going to dive into the merch game eventually. But just like more high quality merch stuff that we would actually wear. I don't want to put out just some shit just for the sake of it. We kind of just took our time because we wanted to find the right people that are going to make something that is actually going to stand the test of time, that we want to wear, that we feel good about. So yeah, that kind of stuff. I mean, we also run the flea market, NYC flea market in New York. So if you are in the New York City area, August 13th, you can pop out to the Bronx Brewery and come support some local brands. It's like a lot of clothing. There's candles, something for your girl, something for you. You know what I mean? Thrifting, all that kind of good shit. So definitely tap in with those people. Shit could be lit.
Yeah. Follow you guys closely on the socials and you'll know about all that, right?
Yeah. I mean, as always, you know what I mean? Yeezus B.I.C. on Twitter, Yeezus199 on Instagram, YESUS199, The Off the Dome Podcast. Google us. I mean, The Off the Dome Pod on Instagram, The Off the Dome Pod on TikTok. We're Off the Dome_Pod on Twitter. I guess you can follow us on Threads. I'm not using that as much as I thought I was going to be using it, but I don't know. I guess we'll try our best. Subway Sounds Network on YouTube. You know what I mean? Make sure you are subscribing and tapping in, liking and commenting all the videos. Lonnie, let them know where they can find you.
Lanivelli on IG, LANIVELI. On Twitter, Lanivelli_BIC. And yeah,
you can find me. You got another IG, though. Is that only for people who...
Oh yeah, my cooking page. Yeah, now Lonnie Lit Kitchen. That's definitely where I like to highlight my food. I was saying I need to just continually post on there because I take pictures of food all the time and I just post it on my regular socials and stuff like that. But I need to start posting more on the actual page because I post food all the time.
Honestly, like in the much further future, I can't commit to this anytime soon. But just look out for some sort of food content because we about to link. Lonnie likes cooking in the house. He's really good at it. I like cooking in the house. My girl loves cooking. I mean, we might. I've had other people in the community that love cooking reach out about doing stuff with Lonnie. So we might make it work. You know what I mean, who knows? There might be some cooking content. Lonnie's been trying to do it for a while. We just got to push the button for real. So
yeah, I know you guys are both into food. I know the podcast is long enough that if you introduced a food segment, it would probably be another half an hour. It'd be too long, but you guys could definitely do that.
Get crazy.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for all your time. Thanks for everything you guys do for the community. It's really, you know, I really love it. I'll just speak for myself. And it was great talking to you guys. You guys have great stories and perspective. And yeah, really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Hoping to come up again one of these days, right? Like, have fun doing this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate you for even reaching out and asking us to be on your platform. You know what I mean? Happy to be here and happy to share some time with you. Happy to finally get this done. Just thank you so much. I'm honestly, I think I can speak for Lonnie as well. Like we're just humbled anytime somebody really actually fucks with what we got going on. So any like actual genuine love, like it's just I gravitate towards it so much. So I could never not do something like this. It's easy to say yes to something like this.